there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. If you're listening to us on World Harvest Radio, I hope you discovered we're still on 5920. That was a mistake that was given to us last week. We apologize. And also later in the program, economic collapse blogger Michael Snyder will be here to talk about the implications for our money in light of the IMF ECB theft of billions of euros from Cypriot bank accounts. When will the thieves tap our accounts too? Well, True News is experiencing a major growth spurt, and God is enlarging our borders and stretching our faith in 2013. I can feel something in the air around the True News office. I'm hearing in my spirit the words, rise up and build. And we're doing it by placing our faith in the name of Jesus Christ and believing that He will supply the resources and the skilled men and women to work with us. Our new website is online. It took several months to develop and a big investment. By the way, for Internet Explorer users, you need to upgrade to Internet Explorer 9. In addition to the new website, we are also recruiting skilled media professionals to join our team. Specifically, we need an experienced news editor, preferably somebody who has worked for a news talk radio station or in a news department of a TV station. We're also seeking freelance journalists, and we're seeking an experienced broadcast operations manager. Later, we will need television production assistance. So if you have that experience and you're interested in joining us here in Vero Beach, Florida, please get in touch with us. Send your resume to info@truenews.com. Any day, I will be free to tell you the exciting details on an astounding miracle that happened here last week. A huge asset was donated to True News, an asset that will enable us to reach millions of people with the good news that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead to grant us eternal life. And hopefully in the next day or two, I'll be at liberty to tell you all the details of this wonderful blessing from our Lord and Savior. Fox News Radio called yesterday to invite me to appear on the Alan Combs Show Monday night. Alan wanted to give me an opportunity to recant some things I've said on True News recently, such as my comment that the Holy Spirit guided the hands of the Hollywood makeup artist on the set of the Bible TV series, who made the actor portraying Lucifer look amazingly like Barack Obama. That comment really touched a raw nerve with the Obamanistas. Now, the other comment was my remarks linking the U.S. Supreme Court hearings on same-sex marriage to the frightening threats by North Korea to nuke American cities. And I wanted to point out that God is lifting His hand of protection from the USA. Well, Alan Combs was his feisty self, but he was respectful, and I appreciated his treatment of me. Here's a portion of my appearance on the Alan Combs radio show on the Fox News Radio Network.
I'm Alan Combs. We are at 877-4-ALAN, 877-367-2526. We're talking to Rick Wiles, founder of TrueNews.com. And he's one of the people who worked and helped found the new CBN cable network, later becoming the Family Channel and the Trinity Broadcasting Network. It's interesting, in terms of the gay issue, gay marriage, Rick, that you also tied it to some of the threats coming from North Korea. And here's what you had to say.
At the same time, the Supreme Court is hearing these arguments on same-sex marriage. In Asia, a crazy man in possession of nuclear weapons, Kim Jong-un, is openly saying, I have ordered our military to position our rockets on U.S. targets in Hawaii, Japan, Guam, and the mainland of the United States. I don't know if anybody's, I know they're not. They're just not putting it together. There's, hey, you got this happening over here, and you got this happening over here. Could the two be connected?
You think they are?
Absolutely, Alan.
You think Kim Jong-un is looking at gay marriage becoming more acceptable in this country, and that's why he's making threats against?
No, Alan. No, not at all. No. What's happening, Alan, is that the divine shield that has protected America for over 300 years is being withdrawn because the socialists, the far left, the God haters, the Christ haters in America for the last 50 years have been shouting to God, get out of our country.
Really?
God is, oh, absolutely, you know that.
Who's telling God to get out of the country?
Well, do we need to go down all the Supreme Court rulings? Do we need to look at the hostility towards Christianity in this country?
Well, I don't see that. I mean, I think there's a lot of hostility toward Islam. I know that. Certainly a lot of hostility toward the Muslims. You know that to be true. A Supreme Court decision that gets government out of religion is not saying get out of the country. It's simply saying that government is supposed to stay religion neutral, like the First Amendment calls for.
Well, let me finish what I'm saying.
Sure.
If I may. Now, this is your program. I want to
no, go ahead. Respectful. I want you to have your say.
Yes, sir. I honestly believe, Alan, that America has been protected by God for over 300 years because most of the time our culture, not the government, our culture, the people, were primarily a Christian people. We were never perfect, never will be, but primarily it was a Christian nation. And in the last 50
We were never
years,
defined that way, sir, just so you know. That was never the case.
Okay. Well, I believe in the last 50 years the nation has taken a sharp turn away from God. It's accelerating day by day. And what is happening right now is I believe God is lifting his hand of protection. And what I see coming, and this is the whole reason I've been on the radio for nearly 15 years, no other reason, it is to tell the American people that if we do not repent as a nation and come back to God and become a Christian nation, if we do not do this, God is going to allow the enemies of America to do what they desire to do, not what God desires to do, because God's desire is to restore us. God's desire is to bring us back into a right relationship with him. But there are enemies who would love to see this country destroyed. And I believe we're coming to a place, Alan, that we're going to lose the protection of God over this nation. And we are going to see nuclear bombs hitting American cities.
We're going to see nuclear bombs hitting American cities because God wants that to happen because we're disobeying his will?
Not that God wants it, because he is allowing us to choose the type of world we want to be.
Let me just point Mr. Wiles, Rick, our founders did not define us as a Christian nation, and our Constitution doesn't define us that way. And in the Declaration of Independence, it says Creator, doesn't mention a particular religion. And in fact, the Supreme Court has affirmed that we are not defined specifically as a Christian nation. So when you say it's because we're not a Christian nation and we need to be, that God is removing his protection, that's not how the country was founded.
But the people were Christian, and this is what I'm saying.
But the country was never defined as a Christian nation. It was never supposed to be that.
You're confusing government and the people. The people were primarily a Christian
at
people.
The time, but we were never defined that way. And why was that? If that's so important, why wasn't it specifically stated that way in our founding documents?
Because they never imagined that a country could ever become this wicked. Never in their wildest nightmares.
Wicked because it's not all Christian?
They never imagined it, Alan. Never.
Do you think, should it be only Christians who live here?
I wish I could convince everybody.
Really? So Jews, should Jews leave the country?
No, nobody's talking about that, Alan.
You just said I wish
I could help everybody discover the wonderful relationship there is with Jesus Christ. That's what I wish.
That's not realistic. We are a multicultural country. So when I just said to you, would you like this to be have only Christians in America, you said, I wish. But well, we have Muslims, we have Jews,
well,
we have atheists.
I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Of course I wish everybody were a Christian. But what I'm really concerned about, Alan, and I'm concerned about you, and I'm concerned about everybody else in this country right now. I mean, tonight, as you and I are talking, and I guess, are you in New York tonight?
Yes,
I don't
know. I'm in New York.
Okay. I mean, right now. Okay, North Korea. They've released another video showing North Korean troops shooting American targets.
And this is because God has removed his protection from the United States.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, China. China is mobilizing troops near the North Korean border. In Syria, we have the possibility of a chemical war. And we haven't even talked about the collapse of the economic system. This country is $16 trillion in debt.
Well, actually, we've been deficit neutral under Barack Obama, and the economy is getting a lot better. But I don't think I'll convince you of that. Somehow I have a feeling you and I are not going to see eye to eye on that.
I'm running a comedy show here.
No, but it sounds like you're injecting fear into people. Let me ask you this. You believe God is a punishing God, don't you?
No, he's a just God. He's a just God.
Punishing God. If he's removing protection because we're not Christian enough, as if God favors only one religion? If God favors Christianity over all religions...
Absolutely. His son is Jesus Christ. Of course he favors... It is only...
So what do you say? So people... The fact that we have a growing Islamic population both in this country and in the world, the fact that we have other religions who are... some parts of the world, there's hardly any Christians. Why would God allow that?
Let me tell you something, Alan. If America continues to reject the mercy of the Christian cross, America will live under the tyranny of the Islamic sword.
So unless everybody in America eventually converts to Christianity, we are going to be doomed.
As a nation, yes.
So,
as a nation,
so we have to have 100%, we have to be all Christians for America to survive.
Alan, we are killing tens of millions of babies. I know you think that's okay, but
no, I don't think it's okay. And I don't. I'm not pro-abortion, but I'm pro-choice, and I don't see it as babies. That's a whole other argument. We're never going to be able to settle on this interview.
Babies, Alan. See, that's the problem. God says, "I created that child.
Right,
I put a soul into that."
I only have a minute left, but I got one last question for you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
How can any man know? And when I say man, I mean man or woman. How can any person know what's in the mind of God?
Through prayer and through the reading of his holy word.
How do we know you're right and other people are wrong?
You have to make that decision. I can't do that for you. You have to read the Bible and ask God, is that your word? Are you speaking to me through that book? Every person has to make that decision, Alan.
All right, Mr. Wiles, I do thank you for talking to us. Obviously, we disagree, but I appreciate the dialogue with you.
All right. Love you, Alan. Take care.
Thank you for coming on the program. Rick Wiles, founder of TrueNews.com.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
The Bible says God loves us unconditionally. That's sometimes hard to believe, so Dr. Stanley tells us his story in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
If you love someone unconditionally, there are no ifs, ands, and buts, and whens, and wheres, and whys. If he loves you unconditionally, he just loves you. And here's what happens. Many times we get into situations that are difficult and trying, and we don't think maybe God's listening like we'd like for him to. What happens is we begin to operate on our emotions. And so, I don't feel God loves me. I don't feel that. And I'll have to be honest, it took me many years in my Christian life before I emotionally accepted and truly believed that God loved me plus nothing. Because I found myself for years trying to do what? Trying to deserve it. Trying to measure up. Trying to get his acceptance. I didn't need his acceptance. I already have it. But I didn't understand it growing up. And our backgrounds have all kind of effects upon us. And I can remember the day and exactly where I was and who I was with when for the first time in my life, I knew God loved me unconditionally no matter what. Changed my whole attitude. You say, well, I don't know why that would hinder your Christian life. Yes, it does. If you don't believe God loves you unconditionally, watch this. That means you believe that all love you receive is conditioned upon something within you. So let me ask you this. What is it in you that's worth loving from God? We're just flesh and bone and blood. And you know what it is? It's who you are. He made you. Listen, He made you because He loves you. He loves you absolutely unconditionally. When you are able to accept His unconditional love, listen, it motivates you to do whatever He wants you to do, no matter what it is.
Learn how to accept God's unconditional love when you visit our All Things Are New section at intouch.org.
Welcome back to segment two of True News. I'm Rick Wiles. A bank robbery in Cyprus is worse than previously thought. The International Monetary Fund, European Central Bank thieves are stealing a lot more money than we were told last week. The country's two biggest banks were tagged good bank, bad bank. If you had more than 100,000 euros, that's approximately 130,000 US dollars, in the bad bank, the IMF ECB thieves stole every last euro. Over at the good bank, they said that they would only steal 40% of the money in the accounts with more than 100,000 euros. The real number, however, is 60%. Maybe what they meant to say is that they would leave 40% in people's accounts, and maybe it was just a typo. Well, shortly after the bank robbery, Holland's finance minister said that the Cypriot bank raid is the new template for future bailouts. The IMF and central banks will simply shove their sticky fingers into people's bank accounts and steal whatever they want. Billionaire Jim Rogers told CNBC television recently that people should grab their money and head for the hills. He said the Cypriot action sets a dangerous precedent, and now people should worry that governments will outright steal their savings. This is what he said, quote, "What more do you need to know? Please, you better hurry. You better run for the hills. I'm doing it anyway. I want to make sure that I don't get trapped. Think of all the poor souls that just thought they had a simple bank account. Now they find out that they are making a contribution to the stability of Cyprus, the gall of these politicians. If you're going to listen to governments, you're going to go bankrupt very quickly," said Jim Rogers. He went on to say, "I, for one, am making sure that I don't have too much money in one specific bank account anywhere in the world, because there is now a precedent. The IMF has said, sure, loot the bank accounts. And the EU has said, loot the bank accounts. So you can be sure that other countries, when problems arise, are going to say, well, it's condoned by the EU, it's condoned by the IMF, so let's do it," he said. And Jim Rogers also said that he has personally started the process in several European countries to get his bank accounts under the insured amounts. He said, quote, "Everybody should do the same thing too, because they're going to go crazy the next time around." Well, let's ask former attorney and now blogger Michael Snyder what he thinks about this legalized theft of people's savings. Mike is the editor and publisher of TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com. Mike, hey, in normal times, you know, as you were an attorney, in normal times, what happens to officials who pilfer money out of private bank accounts?
Well, in normal times, they would be put in prison. But now, apparently, the theft of bank accounts is going to become normalized. And if you wanted to destabilize the global economy, if you wanted to go at the very heart of the financial system, the very foundation of any financial system is trust. If people cannot have faith that they're going to be able to put money in the bank, it'll be there, it'll be safe, it'll be secure, they can count on it, then they're going to participate. So what the global elite have now done is they've sent a message that no bank account, no stock portfolio, no retirement fund, nothing, nowhere you put your money, it could ever be considered to be 100% safe again. And now look what they've done in Cyprus. At first, the people with over $100,000 in their bank accounts in Cyprus were told, okay, it's going to be about 10% is what this wealth tax is going to be. Well, wealth tax is essentially theft. But then a few days later, they're saying, well, maybe it's going to be 30 or 40%. Now we're seeing, well, 60, maybe 80% for some of them. Well, the truth is those people will be lucky to ever see any of that money ever again, honestly. And this sends a message to the rest of the world, because at this point, it sets a precedent. That's the big thing out of Cyprus. Cyprus is just a small economy, and their banking system's fairly large because it's an offshore tax haven. But it sets the precedent. And already we've seen in New Zealand, where the finance minister of New Zealand has come out and said, this is how we're going to handle our major banks when they're failed. We're going to have these bail-ins. Or actually, if you look in Canada, the new budget of the government of Canada, which was just submitted by the Harper government, actually has language in it that says that for systematically important banks that get into trouble, they are going to use bail-ins as the new template or model in order to handle that situation.
Wait a minute. First of all, Mike, I've never heard of a bail-in. I mean, I know when I was younger, we all bailed into a car, went someplace, but what's a bail-in? Where did they come up with this phrase, this term?
Well, it's something that they've recently come up with. They get together at these meetings, the global elite, the bankers gather together, and the recent Basel Accords, they kind of came up with this idea. And so we're starting to see it in documents all over the world. In fact, this new Canadian government budget was drafted before the crisis in Cyprus even erupted. So, they've decided this is the direction they're going to go, not just in Cyprus, but all over the world. Now, what a bail-in is, essentially, is that the banks are bailed out by internal resources, or in other words, the unsecured debt and liabilities. And so what they'll go after, when they do a bail-in, they'll go after bondholders and so forth first. But with a major bank failure, that's usually never even nearly enough money. So in Cyprus, they went after the bondholders as well. But after that, they go for whatever's left in terms of the liabilities to turn them into equity. And that's what they've done in Cyprus. They've turned unsecured liabilities, and that's what bank accounts are. When you put your money in the bank, you actually don't own that money anymore. The bank owns that money. Now, most Americans don't even realize this, but it's not their money anymore. What you've got is an unsecured liability against the bank. And in these bail-ins, those unsecured liabilities are transformed into equity stock in insolvent banks, which is essentially worthless. So in essence, it's a way of stealing our money.
All right. Now, Mike, when I open up a checking account or a savings account, and, I sit down with the banker, and they give me a folder and sign here and put your name here and initial this and all that. And nobody reads, the pages and pages of fine print. But you're an attorney. Tell me, have you ever sat down and looked at the fine print of a bank account where you're doing business with a bank to know exactly what you just agreed to?
Well, over the years, I've read a lot of fine print. But when the possession of that money goes from your hands into the hands of the bankers, it's not your money anymore. Now you've got an account with a bank, but it's considered to be a liability, an unsecured liability as opposed to a secured liability.
But do you know if that paper that we sign opening up the account, does it really state that we're losing control of the money and it's now in the hands of the bank? I mean, I thought the bank had a fiduciary responsibility to hold my money, be a steward of my money. You're telling me that when I put money in the bank, I'm surrendering my legal ownership of the money?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And a lot of your listeners understand fractional reserve banking in that when you put your money in the bank, it doesn't stay there in the bank anyway. The bank, fairly quickly loans most of it out or does other things with it. Or what a lot of these banks have started to do, and this is what happened in Cyprus, is they're gambling with our money. And so what the big banks in Cyprus did, they gambled it on Greek sovereign debt and on some other things, and then a lot of those bets went bad. And so then what's happening is they committed reckless gambling with our money. They made these absurd bets. They lost big, and so now who's paying for it? The bank account holders are paying for it. Now, the people in Cyprus thought their bank accounts were backed up by deposit insurance and by the full faith and credit of the Cyprus government, but we saw how that turned out. Now, the Americans listening to your program may think, well, we have deposit insurance over here in the United States, and the U.S. government is backing up my bank account. Well, that's what the people of Cyprus thought that they had, but it didn't work out for them.
Okay, to me, and this is like if I go down the road here, the Indian River County Mall, a few miles from my office, and I walk into Sears or JCPenney's or Macy's or any of the stores, and I do business with them. And then later I find out that Sears is deeply in debt and they need a lot of money. And they just tell me, Rick, you're responsible to pay our bills. Why is that? Well, you've been shopping here. You've been doing business here. And that makes you responsible for our debts. To me, that's what the banks are doing. This is what the government is doing in Cyprus. This is what the European Union and the IMF is saying. If you walk into a bank and you do business, you automatically become liable for that bank's mismanagement. How are we going to do business if this becomes the new norm?
Well, that's just it. They're shaking the fundamental confidence that people have in the financial system, in the banks. And so what they basically sent a message is saying, hey, especially if you've got over $100,000, you need to get it out of European bank accounts, but it's going to be hard to have any confidence in any bank account because originally they're going after amounts less than $100,000. That's what they wanted. And this idea of going after depositors' accounts, from the research that I've done, it was the IMF that was really pushing this idea at the outset. Now, the IMF, many people may not realize this, but the IMF is heavily dominated by the United States. In fact, the headquarters is right in Washington, D.C. When I used to work down on K Street, I used to walk by there quite a bit, by the IMF headquarters. So the IMF does nothing without the approval of the United States and the U.S. government. So if the U.S. government thought it was a good idea to go after bank accounts in Cyprus, then someday when things go crazy and things start falling apart here in the United States, they're going to propose the same solution here. So Cyprus was just a test. It was a precedent. For those that don't think this happened in the United States, you know, just wait and see. You know, so this fundamentally changes the outlook on things. You don't want to put all of your money in one place because, as we've seen, it could go away very quickly.
Okay, now, Mike, I watch the news very closely, like you. You have a blog, and you and I were monitoring these stories every day. I didn't see Cyprus on the radar screen as a really big trouble spot. I mean, I knew that there were problems. I mean, just like Slovenia, you hear these other countries and you think, well, how bad can the problem be? But last year, we were watching Greece. It looked like Greece would be the country that defaulted. Greece would be the country that was booted out of the euro. And then, the attention turned to Italy and then a little bit to France. And of course, Portugal and Ireland. But Greece was really the problem. That was the one that looked like this is going to bring down the euro system. But they bailed out the Greeks. And then you get over here to little Cyprus, and it just seems to be a minor problem. The government was not collapsing under debt. You had some problems with some banks. And all of a sudden, the IMF and EU, they get out the guillotine. They're chopping off the heads of the banking system. To me, this was planned. They wanted to show the world this is the new norm. This is the way we're going to deal with everybody from now on. And for some reason, they made Cyprus the whipping boy. What do you think's behind this?
Well, I think when you want to set a precedent, you want to do it in a small way. Cyprus has made a lot of headlines, but it's still relatively small. So, for example, people here in the United States aren't paying that much attention to it. But then once you get the precedent set, then just like in the legal world, you set a precedent, and then future legal decisions are dependent on that precedent. So they got the precedent that they wanted, and now that they can go forward. And you're right, if they want to bring about a financial panic, a global financial crisis, then this is the way to do it. You want to strike right at the heart of what people feel safe and secure about, and that's their bank accounts. And now, you know, things just keep getting worse in Europe. For a long time, I've been pounding away for a couple of years now that the next wave of the economic crisis is going to start in Europe. And just today, we got another headline. The unemployment in the Eurozone set another new all-time high. In the Eurozone, it's 12.0%. And then if you look at Greece and Spain, these are countries that are in the midst of a full-blown economic depression. They've got unemployment worse than Great Depression levels here in the United States back in the 1930s. In Greece and Spain, it's both over 26%, the unemployment rate, and it just keeps spreading to other countries, Italy, Slovenia, Portugal, as you mentioned. And so things in Europe are getting worse and worse and beginning to snowball. And now with this message that they've sent and striking at the bank accounts, that's not going to make things any better in Europe. In fact, it's going to create an atmosphere of fear and panic. And eventually it's going to get here to the United States. Now, a lot of Americans have been kind of lulled to sleep because the Dow just set another new all-time high today. But this bubble of false hope is rapidly disappearing.
You brought up earlier that the IMF is a U.S.-controlled, dominated institution. The World Bank and the IMF are essentially run by the United States and Europe. The U.S. Controls the president of the World Bank, and Europe gets the name the president of the IMF, and that's why Christine Lagarde is there. And she replaced Dominic Strauss-Kahn. And the only crime he did was he just raped hotel maids. You know, I mean, he never went in and stole money out of widows' bank accounts. He just raped the hotel maids. So, you know, he's a different type of criminal running the IMF. But now they're just outright stealing. But when you mentioned, Mike, that, you know, the IMF is basically a U.S.-controlled institution, my first thought was the newest round of euro problems is helping to strengthen the U.S. dollar. The old dollar is looking a lot better today than it did a few months ago. Is there a strategy behind this?
I'm not entirely sure if there is a strategy. Certainly the euro is declining and is going to continue to decline. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go to parity with the U.S. dollar. So relative to the euro, I think the U.S. dollar will actually get stronger relative to the euro. But all these global currencies are in decline. Some are just declining faster than others as the global money printing is gone wild and out of control. And as this debt spiral continues, you know, today the approximate size of total world GDP is about $70 trillion, but there's about $190 trillion of debt in the entire world. So there's far more debt than there is GDP or money in the world, and the debt and the money printing just continues to increase at a faster and faster rate, with debt always increasing faster than the money printing. And then also something that you've talked about for years is derivatives, and that's one of the reasons why so many of these banks all over the world are teetering on the edge of insolvency, and why so many of them are in danger, and why we're going to see so many fail in the next crisis and go after bank accounts. But just in the United States alone, the top 25 banks in the United States have exposure to derivatives totaling more than $212 trillion, while U.S. GDP is only about $15 trillion. So, and if you look at the exposure of our largest banks to their total assets, of those 25 largest banks, the ratio is about 24-1. So when these derivatives start to fail, when these bets start to go bad, there's no way that these banks are going to be able to handle it. So that, I mean, there'll just be two options other than letting them fail, which we already know the governments aren't going to do. Number one, they can bail them out using taxpayer money, which comes from us originally. Or number two, these bail-ins, which they just steal the money directly from our bank accounts anyway. So in the end, we're going to end up paying for all this mess one way or another.
All right. I've got another theory. The U.S. economic growth is anemic. I think the last quarter was a point, what was it, 0.4%, 0.4 of a percent. That's anemic. I mean, if it was a human being in a hospital, you know, they'd be feeding the person intravenously, you know, keep them alive. Japan is sinking into depression, not recession, depression. You mentioned earlier the skyrocketing unemployment rates in Europe. The global economy is slowing down in the past 3 to 4 months at an alarming rate. I mean, it is deflating. It's like a hot air balloon that's coming down real fast. So here's one of my theories. Don't know if this is true, Mike. It's just one of my crazy theories. What if the Western business political leaders are so terrified by how fast the global economy is shutting down that what they did in Cyprus was a deliberate last-ditch effort to scare the daylights out of the entire world by doing something so crazy, so radical, as reaching into private bank accounts and stealing up to 80%, 60, 80% of the people's money. In one bank, they stole anything over $100,000. They took 100%. What if this is a deliberate last-ditch gasp to pump up the world economy by scaring people around the world to immediately withdraw their money and put their money someplace? I mean, when people take their money out of the bank in a state of panic, they're going to do one of several things. They're going to buy gold and silver, or they're going to buy other assets. They're going to buy land, houses, commercial real estate, jewelry, gems. They're going to do something with it that they can touch and hold. I mean, look what Jim Rogers said. This guy's a billionaire, and he said, run for the hills. Get your money out. Don't wait on them to steal it. So what do you think about this idea that perhaps they did this to frighten tens of thousands of people to take their money out and go buy something right now?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to create fear and panic, because we've seen kind of this pattern over the years, over the decades, where the global elite like to create order out of chaos, and they don't like to let any good crisis go to waste. So whether they're trying to create it purposely or if this next crisis just happens, in any event, you know, during times of great crisis, we see things and people agree to things that they never would have agreed to during normal times. For example, you just saw this in Cyprus. You know, people would have never agreed to the theft of their bank accounts during normal times. But when a time of great crisis comes, then all of a sudden things which never seemed possible before all of a sudden are possible. And so the global elite, they love to create a problem, a crisis, and that way they can get things that they want to get done. They can they can greatly advance their agenda in a week, a month, or a year in a way that they never could have in an entire decade or several decades previously.
But my question was, are they creating this fear and panic because they're trying to drive people to go buy physical objects in a last-ditch effort to save the global economy from a complete collapse?
I think putting your money into hard assets is certainly a good idea right now. Is that what the global elite wants? That's a very good question. I don't know that I have an answer to that. But, you know, in terms of putting your money in gold and silver and something solid, I think is going to serve people very well for the years ahead. And so that's a strategy that my wife and I are pursuing. And in terms of what we're also doing is diversifying, not putting money in anywhere in too big of a pile. So having money in a bunch of different piles, that makes it harder for it to be wiped out in by one decision or by one bank failing, et cetera, et cetera.
Jim Sinclair, who is known around the world for his knowledge of the precious metals market, and he's well respected. He told Eric King on King World News that the Western central bankers are terrified. And he said, "This is all because of $1 quadrillion in derivatives that are in the financial system. 6 years ago, the Bank for International Settlements at that time reported that the amount of derivatives already outstanding exceeded $1 quadrillion. But that is the actual number, over $1 quadrillion. They never should have released that number because it created a bit of panic. Central planners immediately changed the accounting method for derivatives to put the number down to $700 trillion. But he goes on, what he's saying is that he believes that the Western banking elite knows something that is terrifying them. And that is what is driving them to this madness of doing just, you know, unbelievable acts of just reaching into bank accounts and stealing the money. Now, you mentioned derivatives earlier. So, I mean, is this what they're afraid of? Are we coming to that fateful day that I've been predicting for 15 years? Holy Spirit told me 1998, watch the derivatives. When the derivatives start to unravel, the world system will collapse.
I completely agree. That is one of the words that people need to listen to. When you look at the ratio of derivatives to global GDP, it's more than 21 to 1. So in other words, the total exposure to derivatives worldwide is more than 20 times larger than the entire amount of goods and services produced in the entire world during the entire year. So we're talking about an amount of money and amount of debt that is unfathomable. And in over the last couple of months, I've been seeing all these articles come up where they talk about, the big banks are coming out with some of the riskiest kind of derivatives that they did before the last financial crisis, which helped to start the last financial crisis. They're coming out with them again, and they're becoming a larger and larger percentage of their business. And it's almost as if the last financial crisis never happened, and we didn't learn any of our lessons. And we're setting ourselves up the same way. You know, all over the world, the banks are, we've got this huge pyramid of risk, of debt, of leverage, that basically the global financial system is a gigantic roulette wheel. It's a gigantic casino where people are gambling like crazy. And for example, the big banks over in Europe are as a whole leveraged 26 to 1. In other words, their liabilities and debt compared to their assets, it's a 26 to 1 ratio, which is basically Lehman Brothers style leverage. And so all over Europe, you've got these giant banks which have gambled like crazy. And if they win, they win big and they get fabulously wealthy. If they lose, they know that they're going to get bailed out. So they don't have to worry about it. They just walk away. And so all over the world, the global financial system is not based on sound principles. It's based on debt. It's based on gambling. And it's going to fall. And we're starting to see the cracks. We're starting to see art. And I think that the central bankers of the world should be afraid of that.
Mike, a year or so ago, and I forget when the MF global crisis started, you know, all this stuff's becoming a blur these days. But when MF global stole money out of segregated accounts, and that means these are accounts in a financial institution that have been segregated from the company's funds. The company has its funds, and then it holds the segregated accounts, the segregated monies of the customers. And in normal times, and, you know, we're talking about the last couple thousand years, you weren't allowed to touch the money that did not belong to the company because you were a steward of that money. And you were investing the money for the client. So anyhow, MF Global, run by John Corzine, big Democratic Party fundraiser, former Goldman Sachs, bigwig, ran the Treasury Department, buddies with Barack Obama. John Corzine just stuck his little greedy hands in and stole over $1 billion, and he got away with it. And he was never charged with any crimes. He's still riding around in his limo and still going to parties, and he's just a common thief. But, Mike, I told our audience at that time, I said, look, this is a warning. The global elite are going to steal everything that's not bolted down. They're going to go through financial accounts, 401ks, pension funds, wherever they can get their hands on anything. They're going to steal the money. Nothing is safe. And I know that when I said those things a year or so ago, some people listening to me, you know, rolled their eyes and said, there's Rick again. He's a drama queen. He's over the top. He's exaggerating things. Nothing's ever going to become that bad. But you know what? In a way, they were right. It's worse. It's worse because what Cyprus is in your face theft. I mean, they didn't even blink about it. They didn't even their faces didn't even, you know, turn pink. They just stole the money. And, you know, what I'm trying to say, Mike, is how do we get it across to the people that this is only the beginning of what these people are planning to do?
Oh, it's very true. And sometimes I'm referred to as a doom and gloomer because I write about some real hard things on the Economic Collapse blog, but I never even thought that they would go after people's bank accounts, at least not so quickly. Now, when we saw MF Global, there was actually a court decision that ruled that the money in the segregated accounts did not belong to the customers. And so that was a big warning. People, you know, warned about that. But that was, you know, investment account. That was, you know, different than a bank account. People with a bank account assumed they're 100% guaranteed, backed up by the government, backed up by deposit insurance. But now we're seeing that's not even safe. So there's nowhere you put your money is safe. And this should be a warning to people. And the people need to listen to the warnings such as you, True News, and some of the others, because I believe that God is giving us a warning. He's letting us know. He's knocking on our door and saying, hey, you know, we're headed for this collapse. We're headed for really hard times. The things are going to become extremely unstable in the global financial system. You need to get ready. You need to prepare. You need to move your money. You need to make whatever preparations you need to make to weather the hard times that are coming, because they're coming. And the, you know, of course, this follows a pattern that we see throughout Scripture where, for example, Joseph, he was warned to, you know, set aside crops and food during the good years to provide for the lean years. And hopefully that's what people are doing right now. You know, they're not going out and spending money on a whole bunch of fancy toys, but they're setting aside money for the hard times that are coming because they're going to be really, really hard.
Mike, do you think bank safety deposit boxes are vulnerable?
I think they're very vulnerable. In fact, we've seen state laws where they keep shortening the amount of time before governments can go in and raid them and actually take the money or whatever out if they've not been disturbed for a certain amount of time. It's in some states, I think it's all down to 1 or 2 years where if people don't check on the deposit boxes or whatever, the state or local governments can go in and seize those assets. Or recently I saw an article about how the Department of Homeland Security, DHS is saying whenever they want, they can go in and inspect and potentially seize what is in your bank deposit boxes for the sake of national security. Now, these days, national security is used as an excuse for just about anything they want to do. But, yeah, bank safe deposit boxes are not secure, in my opinion, at all.
And because banks are now nothing more than the arm of the U.S. government. All bankers are federal agents today.
Yeah, it's true. And anything that you put in the bank, as I said before, you're handing over possession to the bank and you're essentially loaning it to the bank. And for what? What are you going to make in a bank? Maybe if you find some great deal somewhere, you can make 1 or 2% on your money. Meanwhile, you're risking 100% of it that it could be taken away at some point without any notice. In fact, in Cyprus, back in February, the Central Bank of Cyprus issued a memo, I have it on my website, where they said that any confiscation of bank accounts of private property is impossible. It's against the European Convention of Human Rights, and it's and they issued this letter which loudly denounced, because the newspaper had suggested that this might be possible. The Central Bank of Cyprus issued this memo, this letter, which said it's impossible, it's not going to happen, quit saying this. And this was a letter that was issued in February, and then the very next month in March it happened. So our politicians are going to lie to you up until the very point when they steal your money. So, you know, they've shown that they're not to be trusted.
And in Cyprus, as we said earlier, it just kind of came out of the blue. Nobody was really anticipating a crisis of this magnitude coming out of the little island country of Cyprus. So a crisis in our country or wherever our listeners are living, you have to be prepared that a banking crisis could appear overnight. And suddenly, within a couple of days, your bank account has been locked down, capital controls imposed in your country. Look what has happened to Cyprus. People can only withdraw 300 euros per day. I think they can only do $5,000 per month in credit card transactions, which is putting a lot of businesses out of business in Cyprus. So the bottom line for Cyprus is the country has been thrown into depression overnight. The point I'm making, Mike, this can happen out of the blue. Nobody was seeing this coming for Cyprus, so it could come to where you live without any warning.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned capital controls, because whatever money they don't steal from you in the future, they're going to lock down, they're going to impose capital controls on your money. So even if you have money in the bank account that hasn't been stolen away by the government or by the banks, the government may say, okay, you can only spend a certain amount, or you can't move it out of the country, or you can't do this with it, you can't do that with it. So if you don't have all of your money, all of your assets in the bank, you'll have more flexibility in terms of what you can spend, in terms of what you can do to keep your business alive, as Rick just mentioned. So you might not want to have all of your money in one bank or even in several banks, but have some flexibility, you know, at home in other locations where you can keep operating, whether it's your business or your personal life, paying your bills, you know, because when crisis comes, and that's another precedent that has been set, capital controls are going to be instituted. And that's another important precedent that's been set here in Cyprus.
About a year and a half ago, a businessman that I know personally who has friends or business contacts at very high levels in the banking industry, and I'm talking at the highest levels, he told me one day that one of his banker associates told him that the U.S. government conducted a surprise shutdown of the international bank wire system, the SWIFT system. No bank was alerted that this shutdown was going to happen. You know, that for one day, all banks were locked down, that they could not wire any funds out of the United States. And the banker told my friend privately, he said, look, they're preparing to lock down the borders. They're preparing to cut off the flow of money out of the United States. And I think it's pretty obvious what they're anticipating, Mike, is that when the American people start to realize, hey, things are getting very, very shaky here, I got to get my money out of here, they'll simply shut off the bank wire system, and you can't get your money out. And you can't go to the airport with your savings account. They'll confiscate it. And so they've already practiced. They've already had a drill of shutting down the bank wire system. And one other thing I want to tell you before I let you go here. I had another businessman tell me right after, I mean, I'm talking a few days after the Cyprus action was announced, and he called he tried to reach his Swiss bank and could not get through. And he called and he called and he called and he left messages. He told me that a Swiss banker called him at 11:30 p.m. Swiss time. And the banker said, all of us here at the bank are in here working. We're working through the night trying to call our clients in the United States. I apologize that we're calling you so late in the evening. And he said, you know, we can't keep up with the phone calls. Well, what does it tell us, Mike? People with large sums of money were panicking, saying, I got to get my money out of the bank. So, again, we go back to what we were talking about earlier. It seems to me that this was a deliberate strategy to provoke fear and panic in people around the world.
Oh, and what I would urge people to do is whatever they think they need to do, they should do it now. Just last month, there was an incident. There was one day where thousands of people logged on to their bank accounts online with Chase Bank, and they discovered that their account balances had all been set to zero. It was as if their bank accounts had been totally wiped out. This happened to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Now, it was fixed after a day, but just imagine if there was Chinese hackers, which they're always talking about, or from another country, or something happened internally, or if they're, you know, it's not hard to imagine something happening to the computer systems, and then all of a sudden, the money's gone. And now what are you going to do? That's why another thing I encourage people to do, keep your paper statements, your bank statements, so that you can prove that you had money in the bank. Because if the computers go down, if something happens on purpose, then you can still prove that you actually had money in there. Because if something happens and they lose the records, quote-unquote lose, you need to be able to prove that you had money in the bank. So keep your paper records.
And there's a possibility that these cyber attacks on the banks may be secretly waged by the very criminals that we're talking about right now, that this is another way they are pilfering billions and billions of dollars out of bank accounts and then pointing to hackers and saying those hackers got in there and took the money, when it's the very elite that we're talking about who are stealing money. I think I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. These guys are going to steal everything they can steal. They know the system is imploding. They're going to steal everything that they can steal and then hope to ride the wave on the new economic system that they know is coming after this one crashes because of their criminal activity over the years. Well, my guest today, Michael Snyder, and he is the editor and publisher of TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com. Mike, as always, thank you so much for being on True News today.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It was a real pleasure.
Okay. We know that the thieves are coming after our stuff. What should we do? In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the Bible mentions the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Issachar was the fifth son of Leah, the ninth of the children of Jacob. Issachar means reward. The Bible says the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. My friend, if you worship Jesus Christ, you are part of true Israel. You and I are Israel. And the Bible says that we will have understanding of the times and we will know what to do. The sons of Issachar did not have the Holy Spirit inside them at that time, but we do. If they understood the times and knew what to do, how much more should we understand the times and know what to do? These are turbulent times, but we worship a stable God. Do not be afraid. Do not be in fear. That's what Satan wants you and I to feel. Instead, put your trust and your confidence and your faith in the risen Savior Jesus Christ and ask Him for wisdom as to what you should do in these days.